In the studio with us, Katie
Bigalke. Let's get to them, by golly.
I know. Okay, Katie Bigalke is the Executive Director of the Community Resource and Vision Center, and Emma Hoagland is Community Engagement Associate North of the Idaho
the
Community
comma,
Foundation.
Comma North.
Yes. And the upcoming event they are working on in coordination, in tandem, and with others is Live Give 7B, as well as Idaho Gives. This is kind of one event, and Live Give 7B is the local version of it, but it happens all at the same time. Well, let's start there. The details of that, just the broad strokes. When is it, and what is it?
Yeah.
Who wants it? Katie.
I'll start. Okay. So it is May 4th through the 7th, and then we are going to do a community celebration on the 8th. And what it is a opportunity for us to recognize the incredible impact that our nonprofits have locally as well as across the state. And so last year was our first year doing Live Give 7B. We had done it outside of Idaho Gives, and so we're excited to partner during the same week as Idaho Gives. And I'll let Emma tag on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Katie. So Idaho Gives is a statewide giving opportunity for all of our community members across the state to either go and support their current favorite nonprofit or to find a new nonprofit to be able to support. This is a giving campaign that's been going on in the state of Idaho for the last 13 years, started by the Idaho Community Foundation. And specifically here in the Sandpoint area, we were so impressed with the local initiative of Live Give 7B. And with Idaho Gives being a yearly program, we wanted to see how we could best collaborate with Live Give this year. And we've done that in several exciting ways. And I want to do a big shout out to Katie for her willingness to collaborate and also just the opportunity to get to know the local Sandpoint and Bonner County and Boundary County nonprofits that are participating in these campaigns this year and the incredible work that they're doing and this amazing opportunity to just be able to support them in a year that has been pretty tough for the nonprofits. So excited to be able to be here and share this message.
The program started, or Idaho Gives predates Idaho or Live Give 7B,
yes.
Right? Where did the idea come from? What's kind of the impetus behind this? When did Idaho Gives start?
So Idaho Gives started in 2013 as a program specifically of the Idaho Nonprofit Center. The Idaho Nonprofit Center is a nonprofit located down in the Boise area, but it is a statewide entity. The Nonprofit Center has, from its existence, been just a support for nonprofits throughout the state of Idaho, and support can look like education, it can look like advocacy at the legislative level, and I think they just saw an opportunity for a community, not just community, but a statewide giving opportunity. This is a time where we can all come together to support our local nonprofits, our statewide nonprofits, and do so in a way that ensures that the money, the donations, the time, it all stays here. It stays here in Idaho. And when Idaho gives, Idaho thrives. And it's really the opportunity for us to come around our nonprofits and make sure that they know that they're not alone. A lot of times these nonprofits, they're working so hard every day. They're dealing with community issues. They're providing services. But we want to make sure that they have the knowledge to know that we see them and that we're here for them. And as the Idaho Nonprofit Center combined or integrated with the Idaho Community Foundation within the last year and a half, this is even more of an opportunity to ensure that funders, donors are able to know exactly what is going on with our nonprofits and have an opportunity to truly support them on a yearly basis.
You find it, I mean, obviously it's been going for more than 10 years successfully. How do I put this? I mean, it seems so often that that nonprofits are to some extent in competition with each other, mm-hmm. or there's only so much money to go around in the community. Mm-hmm. We're all asking for it, and who's going to get it? And it when we plan some of our events, we want to make sure that we're not doing a pledge drive at the same time as
the community, you know, at the station in Spokane is mm-hmm. doing their pledge drive or something like that. Well, we try to. But it's, I guess it's interesting to me that the approach is opposite of mm-hmm. that. It's everybody ask all at once
yep.
and you find it to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been yep. incredibly successful. Last mm-hmm. year, we brought in the 4 days, $5.1 million for the about 600 nonprofits that were participating statewide. A big aspect of that, and actually the number that tipped us over the $5 million, was this collaboration with Live Give 7B as well. And to your point, I think that it's an opportunity where kind of competition goes out the window, and it is all about collaboration. Yeah. I'm sure Katie's going to talk a little bit about the summits that have happened. But when you see all of these nonprofits in the room sharing the same type of messaging, being able to promote not just their organization, but the organizations in their orbit, in their community, it doesn't really become about competition. It becomes about coming together, which is a really fantastic way to involve the community. And what's so great about not just Live Give, but Idaho Gives as well, is that the barrier to entry is very low. It's a $10 minimum donation. So my kids have been saving their weekly allowances so that they can do this. It's something where everyone can be involved and everyone can give back. And that's something that I think is an incredible opportunity for our communities at large.
Totally. Yeah, so last year was Live Give 7B's first year, and we had 73 participating organizations. So if you think about that, Bonner County had 73 of the 600 mm-hmm. that Idaho Gives, right? And we know that our community has an exorbitant amount of nonprofits, and we love that, and we love to celebrate that and bring awareness to it. After this, I'm going to head over to the Idaho Commerce meeting at the Envision Center and share a little bit about the impact that nonprofits have, not just locally here, but across the state. There's 67,000 nonprofit employees. It's the 12th largest sector for employment, which is in Idaho. And so part of this is really just bringing awareness to what we bring to the fabric of these communities. We're really upholding that fabric. And so what we're trying to do with Live Give 7B is raise awareness and attention. It might not always come across in dollars, but if people get volunteers from it, new board members from it, somebody learns that the trails that they've been walking on and loving are withheld from a nonprofit, that might engage them to get involved in volunteer work or maybe do that $5, $10 donation. So what we've been doing over the past 3 months, we have one tomorrow, and it'll be our final one. We've been hosting a nonprofit growth summit to get nonprofits prepared for Live Give 7B and Idaho Gives. And it's been a chance for nonprofit leaders and their marketing teams or their board of directors or whoever they have at the helm of messaging to really hone that message, figure out how they're speaking to donors, understanding what would happen if they didn't exist within our community. And it's been fascinating. It's been great. We've gotten lots of photos and videos recorded. And I think we are going to be making a great big splash the week of May 4th through 7th. And then we invite the entire community to come out to a celebration on May 8th, where we're going to share our numbers. It's going to be a super fun, engaging opportunity from 3 to 6 at The Hive. And we're going to announce that in a game show style way. And so anyone who donates during Live Give 7B is going to have the opportunity to have their name drawn out of a hat to be on stage as a contestant. And we have a couple local giving campaigns that are going on during the week, and there will be a kitty that continues growing during the week. And whoever is the winner of that game show gets to take that pot of money home and or donate it to their favorite nonprofit.
And what's the date of the Hive event?
That is May 8th.
May 8th. I'd like to go back and ask both you and Emma. You mentioned 73 in 7B, and you mentioned 600 nonprofits statewide. That's not all of them, is it?
No, not
okay.
at all.
How does a nonprofit in Bonner County and a nonprofit statewide register or become a recipient, possibly, of some of the funds?
Yeah, so for Idaho Gives...
This is Emma.
This is Emma, hello. For Idaho Gives, a nonprofit registers just by going to idahogives.org. once the nonprofit registers, they have their own donation page that they are then able to create. So they can add photos, their logo, videos. They can write up the story of their nonprofit so that if it's a new donor, we do see that through Idaho Gives, the average is about 1.8 donations. So about 2 donations come in per donor. And so it's an opportunity with this statewide aspect of Idaho Gives to have new donors come in. And so we want to make sure that the nonprofits take the time to tell their story and be able to explain exactly where the funds would go, what types of programs would the funds be going towards. Like, for example, Friends of Scotchman's Peak has a fabulous Idaho Gives page, and they list it out. $50 goes towards this, $75 goes toward this, all the way up to the $1,000 level that goes towards ensuring that there are porta potties on the trails, which is something I think we all desire. And so it's really just the opportunity on idahogives.org for the nonprofit to be able to tell their story. And then each nonprofit gets their own unique URL so that they can create a QR code, or they can send donors specifically to their Idaho Gives page. And so a donor or an interested person doesn't need to sift through the website. They'd be able to just go directly to that specific nonprofit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then for 7B Gives, folks can, we have a huge email list. And so we've been hitting up all of our nonprofit leaders and asking them to be participants of this. And if you haven't been reached yet, just go to the website and you can drop us an email on there. It's 7bgives.org, or you can email me directly at katie@crecidaho.com, and we'll get you added to that list. And so we've had about 53, I believe, organizations participating with us this year in our nonprofit summits. And so that's fantastic. There's been a lot of engagement, a lot of questions, a lot of preparation for this. And we're just so thrilled about it, because what it does is it sets those organizations up throughout the year. It's just not just for this week. It's really getting their messaging in, looking at taking photographs of them doing the work, showing and showcasing and practicing telling their messaging, which sounds surprising, but many are not so practiced at that. And so this is just great foundational work.
Is there a deadline for a 501c3 to have, like you were talking about, Emma, the profile up on the website? Is there a deadline?
Yes. Registration ends for Idaho Gives on April 14th.
Okay. Let's see. I'm looking at a calendar. It's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Tuesday. And how about 7B?
Tuesday.
Look at
that.
Did
you guys coordinate that?
Oh, my goodness.
have the numbers gone up over the years in terms of nonprofits applying for?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. For Idaho Gives, we have seen year-over-year growth. Our goal of this year is to have 700 statewide nonprofits, and we are about at 600 right now. Okay. What's been really incredible is just to see the regional growth. This is the first time that the Idaho Community Foundation has had regional employees, meaning my role, the comma north, means that I specifically work within North Idaho and provide support to the nonprofits in the top 7 counties of Idaho. And so we have seen a big leap in the north specifically. I think what has been so amazing about Live Give is that they've really honed the message of localized giving. And that's something that really resonates with Idahoans. They want to make sure that their money and their time and their energy stays in their community.
Absolutely.
And supports the nonprofits that are doing the work in that community. And so that's what's been really fabulous, I think, with this collaboration, is just ensuring that there's a local presence with statewide visibility as well. So the nonprofits have the opportunity to participate in Live Give, but they also have an easy, integrated way to participate in both.
Now, can a 501c3 submit the same profile to both, or are they a little bit different?
Yeah, so the way it works is we have all of the people that are participating in LiveGive 7B on the website, 7bgives.org, and they are choosing where their donation page goes. So their donation page will either go to their Idaho Gives page, or it will go to their PayPal, or it will go to their website directly. So we, through LiveGive 7B, we aren't taking anyone's money. That money goes directly to that organization, and then we're just tallying it on the back end. So you're a like little bit more manual.
A conduit.
Yeah. Yep. So we're just trying to drive people to that website. Mm-hmm. And what we did this year, we overhauled the website so people can search more easily for things that's that important. Are interesting to them, right? If you care about education, if you care about civic work, if you care about trails, you can search that. And all of a sudden, all of those will pop up for you.
Or radio.
Exactly. Or radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Community media. That's important. We're talking to Katie Bogalke, the executive director of the Community Resource and Vision Center, and Emma Hoagland from the Idaho Community Foundation, where she's the Community Engagement Associate North.
North.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. And we're talking about this this upcoming event. In less than a month, it's going to be upon us. Live Give 7B and Idaho Gives. May 8th is the date that we threw out as the finale party.
The hive time.
But during the week, there are some events going on as well.
Yeah, we've decided to do like a spirit days. You know, when we were in high school and you wore pajamas and had crazy hair.
Oh, yes.
We're doing things like that. So on Monday.
Jim, you're shocked. Yeah. This was a thing. School Spirit Week. Go Hornets. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we did that in the 50s.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay.
Here's your opportunity.
This is a good kickoff then.
Yes.
On Monday, May 4th, you could just dress like you were in high school because it's our Dress in the 50s day to commemorate, but just to celebrate Carolyn Gleason and Lost in the 50s and that tradition that happens in our community. So that's Monday, May 4th. And then Tuesday, we're doing a town toast at the 219. And the 219 is generously adding to that kitty for us all week, that pot that is going to be growing for our celebration on the 8th. And so if you go in there and you buy a top shelf bourbon, $5 from that drink is going to go to our kitty. $2 from any classic cocktail will go to our kitty, and $1 off of tap beers as well. But at 219, we want to do at Tuesday, May 5th, at the 219, at 219, we are going to meet to do a town toast, which I just think is way fun. And then Wednesday.
In the afternoon. Right.
You know, take a little break from work. Yeah, go on down to the 219. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just
I just want to clarify, you know. Yes. No, I mean, it's possible that you might find yourself at the 219. At 2:19 in the morning sometimes as well. And that's, just to be clear, this is an afternoon event.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, we're going to have a bridge rally where we meet at the south end of the bridge. We have a bunch of Live Give 7B signs that are all of our participating nonprofits, board members and staff members are going to receive to put in their yard so that when people are driving around town, there is no doubt that we are leading up to something great. And so we invite those folks to grab their signs and meet us at the bridge and just wave to oncoming traffic and have a little afternoon of fun. And then on May 7th, we are going to meet at Utara's Pub on Pine. And they are also an organization that is going to be growing the kitty for us throughout the week. And we invite folks to wear their favorite gear. So you can bike over, Jack, in your, on your bike. And
sure can.
You could roller skate over or rollerblade. Is that what you do, Jim?
I'll get my walker and and hop all over there.
Just put some tennis balls on the bottom and then
there you go. There you go.
So that's happening on May 7th. And then obviously that celebration on the 8th. So we're looking forward to a really fun week.
Should be a good one.
Yeah.
Lost in the 50s on Monday. Town toast at the Niner on Tuesday. A meeting on the bridge. Exciting. On Wednesday. And then over at Utara on Thursday. Yeah, something going on every day.
Yeah.
Love it.
Could we have one more time the websites slowly so that Emma will start with you with Idaho Gives, the website for 501c3s to do a profile?
Yes, the website is idahogives.org.
And nothing in between Idaho and Gives?
Absolutely not.
Idaho Gives?
Yep.
.org.
.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Emma.
Katie says Katie. That Live Gives 7B. Oh, you know, we both have brown hair. We're delightful.
Absolutely.
Interchangeable.
So if you want to participate or look at the participating organizations, you can visit 7B gives.org.
Okay. KRFY, this radio station, is a nonprofit that is participating. We're still working out exactly what we're going to do. Are you tallying at the end of every day?
Every day.
Okay.
And so we're going to be going over this tomorrow at the final Nonprofit Growth Summit. So hopefully you and or Brian will be in attendance.
We'll both be there, I believe. We will, yeah. I'm not going to promise this 100%, but I think that during that week, there's no reason we couldn't, on the morning show, kind of give an update, tally of it's going so far.
That would be great. A tally, yeah. And a little reminder of how people can participate that day.
We can do that.
Spirit Days. Yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. There you go. That's what's going on during May 4th through 7th. Our guests so far have been Katie Bigalke and Emma Hoagland from, respectively, the Community Resource and Vision Center and the Idaho Community Foundation. I think we have another pair of guests waiting for us. I haven't actually seen them, but I think they're out there, probably.
I'll go do a search.
You're going to go check. Okay, Jim's going to go check. But Jim, I don't know how to introduce this song. I know what it is, but he's got something critical happened on this date in, I'm going to say, 1970 that caused Elton John to release this song, but Jim's going to have the story about that.
Oh, maybe invite people to call in while you play it to see if they can guess what was going on in Jim's head.
You could do that.
Specifically in Jim's head.
Katie, you'll be back later on this month one more time talking to Phil, right?
Yeah, and I think Emma's going to do it also.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can dive, because we didn't really talk about everything else that the Idaho Community Foundation or the Community Resource and Vision Center does, and there's lots to talk about.
There's so much to talk about all the time.
Okay. But at least we got the details out about this event, and it's pre-registration. So if you're a nonprofit affiliated with a nonprofit, as so many of our listeners are, the deadline is fast approaching, but you can still get involved and still be a part of this.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Thank
and go
you.
Out and look at my lilac bush.
Can't wait.
I cannot wait. Let's do it.
And we do have someone, I think, from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force out there waiting for us. On this date in 1971, Elton John released his first live performance album, and it was called 1770. That was the date in which it was recorded at a radio station and with lots of people around. And this is a song that's familiar if you're a Rolling Stones fan, Honky Tonk Women, done energetically by Elton John. So get up, put your cup of coffee down, and start moving around.
She's a honky tonk woman. Give me the honky-tonk blues. She's a honky-tonk woman. Give me the honky-tonk blues.
An enthusiastic audience response to Elton John doing Honky Tonk Women, a Keith Richards and Mick Jagger song. That comes from his 1770. That's the date when it was recorded. And it was released on this date in 1971. We do have some catching up to do. My sister was not on the ball this morning, and she texted me. She says, I'm late. The weather forecast for Washington, D.C., due to the magic of technology and Alexa. Weather now is 49 degrees now with a high of 62 degrees expected. Sunny, feeling a bit cool. Sort of like here.
It is. It is kind of like here.
You know, you mentioned it was a bit nippy outside. I noticed that the water on our bird bath had frozen.
Same, yeah. There was some ice on top of the bodies of water in my yard as well.
Mm-hmm.
We are now joined by Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. And I neglected to ask you your title, Sharon. What is your role at the BCHRTF?
I'm one of the board members.
Okay, board member.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about an upcoming film, which is going to be at the Panetta Theater next Thursday. The film is Carla the Rescuer. It's a documentary and will be on screen at the Panetta Theater at 7 p.m. The documentary is to be followed by a Q&A with, among others, the subject of the film, hopefully, barring any, you know, unforeseen interference on that part. She should be here to talk about the movie that is about her life, and in particular, one episode in her life, or one, you know, one period in her life. Do you want to tell us what you know about the movie, Sharon, roughly?
Yes, I have seen the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that it was advertised, I think, through Inovia. So in September of last year, I went to Coeur d'Alene, and it was at the Kroc Center. And I was blown away. I had met Carla in 2018, so I knew her story. But the film is so engaging. It shows a lot of interviews with children, her children in particular, and school children. So I just thought we have to bring this to Bonner County.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, just the history for the community, to know what it was like for her.
The documentary tells the story of Carla Pepperzak, who grew up alongside Anne and Margot Frank in Amsterdam and joined the Dutch resistance as a teenager during the Nazi occupation. And she forged IDs, served as a courier, and helped others to go into hiding during her time with the Dutch resistance. Pardon me. And she is she's still with us today and lives in the area. And that's, I guess, how you got connected with her. Is that right?
Yes, we met her. We attended a conference at Gonzaga in 2018. And there were breakout workshops throughout the conference. It's a couple-day conference. And Brenda Hammond, who was the president of the task force at the time, went to Carla Pepperzak's workshop where she was talking about her experiences. And afterwards, as we were leaving, Brenda said, oh, I just had the most incredible experience. We need to see if we can find this woman and have her come speak to us. So we get in the elevator at the parking lot, and there's Carla and her daughter in the elevator. And we just introduced ourselves and said, would you consider coming to Bonner County to speak? And she said, yes, I would. Just talk to my daughter. She's the one that transports mm-hmm. me around. And so she came to the high school in 2018 for our Human Rights Day, December 10th event. Packed the auditorium at the high school. The kids loved her. It was really great. So that's when we met her.
That's when you met her.
And got her story, okay. Yeah. And then I found, you know, noticed that she was speaking in Spokane. They have named a middle school after her in Spokane.
Hmm.
And she's still doing speaking engagements.
Oh, wow.
Where she speaks for like an hour and a half and then answers questions and kids come up and talk to her. So,
and I mean, she was in the Dutch resistance during World War II.
Yeah, she's 102.
102.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Marion, her daughter, says she can't keep up with her schedule. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not that old. Some days I wonder how I get through my day. Yeah, she's remarkable.
When was the documentary made? Do you happen to know that?
You know, I don't know that, but I saw it in September, so I think it was made in 2025.
So it was made between when you met her,
yes,
and
yes. And now.
Wonderful.
I mean, 2025, I think, is when it came
and
out.
And where did you see it already? Was it on
it
PBS?
It was at the Kroc Center.
Kroc Center,
yeah.
Okay.
And I think Inovia and some other folks put it on.
Okay.
And what they did is they had a showing on a Sunday for the public, which I went to. And mm-hmm. then the next day they bused kids from the schools in Coeur d'Alene.
Okay.
And so in Bonner County, we have given the information to Becky Meyer and the school district about the film. I think they're working on a 40-minute segment that they can use in the schools in classrooms. And so their school district's taking care of that. And we decided just to focus on the public showing at the Panada.
So this is on Thursday, a week from today, April 16th at 7 p.m. Is there a charge?
$5 tickets.
Okay. And it says, I'm looking at the poster right now, Carla the Rescuer, a Holocaust survivor, you are never too young to act courageously. And what would you say would be the age range? Is there any, is it too young for some children or?
I would say, gosh, I would say middle school on.
Middle school
on. I don't know about elementary.
Okay.
I don't know the curriculum for like fifth, sixth grade.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
And how old was Carla when she became a member of the Dutch resistance?
Well, I think she was she 19?
Young.
She was a teenager.
Teenager.
She was a teenager.
So this would be appropriate for high school students?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think the doors open an hour before at 6.
Mm-hmm. And we will have a table, the Human Rights Task Force will have a table with information.
Will Carla be there or
Carla,
her daughter?
Carla intends to be there. Her daughter Marion intends to be there. And really exciting, the CEO of the Anne Frank Center USA in Pittsburgh is flying in to see the film.
Oh, how
so
wonderful.
So she'll be here today.
Okay.
Staying at Marion's, that her Carla's daughter. And she will be coming to the film and then meeting Thursday and Friday with task force members.
Okay.
And other people in the community who want to meet her.
So the movie it'll be introduced, the movie. What would the evening be like?
The program is going to be Linda Navarre, our president, will welcome everyone. And then because there will be a Jewish holiday on the 14th, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the Jewish Remembrance Day, the Holocaust. We have two members of the temple in Spokane, Jewish temple in Spokane, who will talk about the holiday and what that means.
Okay.
And then Clement Lai, who is the filmmaker, we'll talk about the making of the film briefly. And I think those are the only people that are going to speak at the beginning.
Before the film.
Before the film. And then we'll show the film, which is 90 minutes. And then Marion and Carla and maybe Dr. Bairn's father, who is the CEO, she may be included in the Q&A.
Q&A afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jack is going to be our moderator.
Why? Yes, I am. I'm going to be there as well. Moderating. I think you've provided some excellent questions, and I'll just be directing that a little
bit.
Not too much from me, I don't think, because I'm no expert, but I am fascinated.
They've done this before, so they those questions are ones they suggested from other showings. That have been helpful.
So. Good.
With the documentary, I take it interviews, and will there be footage from World War II in it?
I don't remember that.
Okay. Okay.
but
it focuses on Carla's story.
It really focuses on the interviews in the speaking engagements that she's had in Spokane.
Okay.
But also a lot of it is her speaking with her family. Because she did not speak about this to her children.
I was going to say her story. Yeah. Her story.
The reason that she started telling her story was her grandchildren were reading Anne Frank in school. And they came to her and asked if she lived during that time, would she come and speak to the classroom?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Marion was very surprised because she had never been allowed to talk about it. And Carla said yes. And she's been speaking about it ever since. So it was the grandchildren that really got her
going
again. Yeah.
Wonderful. Carla the Rescuer at the Panada Theater on next Thursday, a week from today, the 16th. Doors open at 6 and the introduction and the film at 7, and the fee is
$5.
Perfect.
There you go. You mentioned that the director of the Anne Frank Center is going to be in town,
right?
And are there any other public events that the Human Rights Task Force is going to be hosting while she's here?
No, we just found out about it.
Okay.
No, we're just arranging, and you know, some the board members will be meeting with her and some of the a Jewish community people.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So,
well, that will be interesting. The holiday, by the way, Yom HaShoah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had to
Yom HaShoah.
Look it up myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by. And
you're
again,
welcome.
One more time, the 16th, 1 week from today, Carla the Rescuer at the Panada Theater at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. And have a good day.
Thank you. We'll see you there.
Okay. We're gonna play a song, and then we're going to talk about upcoming events like the play at the Panada and the request for CDs.
Hey,
we've
that's
got
right.
a lot to talk about. On this date in 1976, it's a sad date, and I'll be playing some of his music tonight. Phil Oakes, an incredible singer-songwriter, wrote songs like I Still Miss Someone and Changes. He wrote a lot of anti-war songs during the 60s and early 70s. He committed suicide on this date in 1976 at the age of 35. And here is one of his amazing songs called I Ain't Marchin' Anymore.
Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't marching anymore.
The late, great Phil Oakes, I Ain't Marching Anymore on this date in 1976. After years of struggling with bipolar disorder and alcoholism, he committed suicide. And tonight on my folks show, I will be playing some of his songs and Draft Dodger Rag. I Ain't Marching Anymore. I just played that outside of a small circle of friends. Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal. Just very, very insightful music and reflective. And on this date.
I'm not a scholar by any means like you are, but I'm sure that I didn't really listen to Phil Oakes before you started playing him, you know, on the radio station. But I have, yeah, he's as far as just a cutting wit, incisive is right.
Yes. And his two most famous songs though are very beautiful folk songs.
Yeah.
Changes, come sit by my side as close as the air. Just incredible imagery.
I think it's fascinating to me that he's kind of a lesser known figure, I think.
Well,
doesn't have the reputation that so many of those, you know, that kind of era of singer-songwriter do.
Well, the thing is, though, is that Joan Baez is still with us. Bob Dylan's still with us. You know, he exited in 1976. But I find his music as in Here's to the State of Mississippi, just a powerful song about voting rights, and the unjust civil rights injustices. If you want to get a feel for the people in the 60s and early 70s, you know, he names names and he's like a history book.
Yeah. I wonder if that's, I don't know. I'm going to listen tonight because I think he's such
it's only going to be partial. I'm going to be playing, music that songs that I'd like to hear. I'm going to do a Joan Baez from Child's Ballads. That's one that I haven't, she's done in her early career. She did a lot of those ballads from England and before she met you know who, and became politically involved. So I'm not going to name any names. I do want to say that it is springtime, and what that means is house cleaning, and just stop and take a moment and look at your CDs. And when's the last time you played that one or this one over here? Or that. And, you know, time to move and clear some space off so you can buy some new ones, of course.
That's right.
At Pink Pony Club. And bring them down to the radio station. And we do several things with them. You can donate them to 88.5 KRFY. We're located at 323 North First Avenue. Leave a box outside the door. And what we'll do is I'll go through the station's iTunes library and see what we have. And if not, I'll put it in there. And then last Saturday in July, the Sidewalk Day sales as a fundraiser for the radio station. So, and also your DVDs. When's the last time you've seen that one? Or when's the last time you've looked at that one over there? And with the CDs, we don't want bootleg copies, you know, ones that other people have made. We want the originals.
The burned.
Burned. We don't want the burned. So keep the radio station in mind, and we will help you spring clean. And by that, I mean we'll take your donations.
That's right. Yeah, it's a wonderful way to, I think the way you put it is just right, Jim. When's the last time? But you have an emotional attachment to these things.
Oh.
I do anyway. I can't get rid of them, but I could get rid of them if I knew they were going to the radio station.
Let's not go down that road and depress me, because I look at my rows and rows and rows of CDs and I go, you know, am I going to play that one before I die? As I have oftentimes said to you, Jack, and on the air, one of life's essential tragedies is we only have one set of ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm playing a CD, there's a lot of CDs I'm not listening to at that time.
It is so.
And I haven't figured that out yet, how to get around that. But you're right. There is emotional attachment. Even though I might not play a CD in a while, it can bring back a memory. It can bring back it doesn't feed me in the same way that it fed me when I was previously listening. So,
and you are not doing LPs this year, is that correct?
No vinyl.
All right. Someday.
Someday. And maybe 8 tracks and cassettes.
Okay. All right. No, we do sometimes get vinyl donations, and once we have enough vinyl, maybe we can do
it's the difficult thing is storing them.
Storing them and getting them up and down the stairs. But we've got we'll talk about this off the air.
Sure.
What we should do with the vinyl that we do have in the studio that we could perhaps deal with during the Crazy Days sale.
I could just put them down there like in a milk carton bin, and go through them and that sort of thing.
There's some good ones. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But again, keep the radio station in mind as you do your spring cleaning with your CDs and DVDs. Now, another thing I want to bring to attention is at the Panada Theater tonight, Friday night, and Saturday, 9th, 10th, and 11th at 7 p.m. Then on Sunday the 12th, a matinee at 2, Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, is put on by LPO Rep. And if you didn't see it last weekend, grab your tickets. You can go Panada.org and follow the prompts and purchase a ticket or tickets. Again, tonight, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night at 7. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 6. And 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday the 12th.
This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere, and you are listening to The Morning Show. We are just about to turn it over to Bird Note. I haven't seen that Midsummer Night's Dream yet. Wish I had. And... Let me just mention one more thing coming up later today. Special programming at 1 o'clock when Caleb Keaton is dropping by to talk about an upcoming, I think it's a stand-up comedy type show at the Heartwood Center. That's mm-hmm. coming up this weekend. A little preview for you here on 88.5 KRFY. That'll be at 1 o'clock, interrupting Otto's Eclectic Mix. So tune in and hear that brief conversation as well. Hopefully something amusing will happen at the time. That's good enough for now. And then the folk show tonight.
Folk show tonight, and during the day, this beautiful weather, stop by my lilac bush and in front of U.S. Bank near the drive-thru and say thank you to it.
That's a good idea, Jim. All right. Here's Bird Note. Thanks for listening.